is what he said he was. Amen? Well, you have your copy of God's Word with you, or me and Ethan were just kind of joking. If you have, you can go on your smartphones. I went to Hendersonville Tuesday. I remembered everything I needed except my Bible. But the preacher was with me. He said, you go to a Bible college without a Bible. Anyway, I have it on my phone, so it was the same difference. Potato, patata. I want to preach this morning on the subject matter of Hephzibah, a mother with a son away from God. A mother with a son away from God. 2 Kings chapter 21. I was picking at Ethan if he needed to look in his index of his Bible. Maybe he could find it. I've missed him. I haven't got to pick on him in a while. Please, y'all understand, he gives as good as he gets. This is not, this is not one-sided. It might be from up here, but when we're not here, it's just plenty of fun. But let's be serious for a few minutes. Hephzibah, a mother with a son away from God. And I practiced saying that all week so Cindy wouldn't get on me after church. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. Let's stand. As a reverence to the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Father, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hephzibah, a mother with a son away from God. A USA Today snapshot listed what moms with kids under the age of 18 wanted this Mother's Day. So they listed this way, having time with family at home, 36% of those moms said that's what they wanted. 20% of them said they wanted to go out to dinner. Another 20% said they wanted to go to the spa. Another one, 12% said have a day off. 11% said they wanted to go shopping. Oh my goodness. 0.3%, less than 1%, said they wanted to spend the day alone. I don't know what mom's got today. I struggle with stuff like this, buying and I'm telling you, I think some of these holidays were created to keep men in trouble. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day. I'm telling you, fellas, if you buy clothes, you better make sure you buy them too small. If you buy a gift card, it's impersonal. You didn't think enough about me. You just went down to the Walmart and picked up a gift card off the rack. I know how this works. I'm telling you, there's not a winning proposition here for the man. But I really think that there's one thing that every mom would want that's not on that list. Most moms that I know would want to see their kids saved, on their way to heaven, and living for the Lord. That's what most moms want. Well, the greatest gift children can give back to their moms on Mother's Day or any other day for that matter is to get saved and get in church and then live for the Lord the rest of your life. We're looking this morning at a mom that's a little bit different angle here. Her name's Hephzibah. The fact is we don't know much about her. The Bible just does not speak a lot about her. We know a lot. All we know about her is found in the text that I've just read for you. We know a lot about her husband. She had a husband by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king of the Old Testament. Jerry Vines preached a sermon a few years ago on him. He was the king who prayed the wrong prayer that God gave him 15 more years. And he done some bad stuff those last 15 years of his life that he should have. Anyway, nonetheless, it's interesting. We know a lot about her son. her son's name's Manasseh. And, well, he wasn't a good king of Israel. Normally, when you talk about the kings of Israel, if you guessed they were a bad king, normally you got it right, because there was not a whole lot of good kings of Israel. So I want us to take what we know about her husband and what we know about her son, and I want to build a sermon around that thought this morning, if we could, for just a few moments. And it's going to help us to get to know her a little bit better, I think. Now, what you're going to have to do this morning with me is put on your spiritual imagination, if you would, and then journey with me as we think about this woman named the name of Hephzibah. Now, she had a son that was away from the Lord, and she had a husband that was right with the Lord. And because of those two things, I think we can learn something about this mother's heart. Now, first of all, notice with me in the text here, we see a mother so glad. Now, there was a day that she realized that she was having a baby. I mean, this was an exciting day when this mom found out that she was going to have a baby. Most of the time, people were excited. I want you to hear me and hear me well. It's May the 10th of 2015. If Elizabeth tells me we're having a baby, it will not be an exciting day for me. I love my children. I do. I love them. I don't want them more, though. I wouldn't take $1 million for them most days. We were coming to church this morning, and we've seen the sign for the possible new construction, and it's talking about people buying property near my house. And I said, for the right amount of money, they can have my house, contents included, children and all. We've had kind of a long weekend at our house, you know. But can you imagine, though, that was a happy occasion, to be sure. I mean, most moms are excited. I remember the night that Elizabeth told me that she was pregnant with Ashlyn. It was an exciting and scary time for us. And I was anxious on the phone with her dad. And she said, you need to get off the phone right now. I thought, oh, Lord, what have I done? Did I do this? And she said, we're going to have a baby. And we told her dad a few days later. He said, how did this happen? I got some mileage out of that. I want y'all to know I had a lot of fun with that for a little bit. But I want you to notice with me, though, as we think about this thought, this mother being glad that it was a happy occasion. Most people are happy. Even they were even happy when they had you. I mean, they were happy. It's been a while. Think about this. The thrill of bearing a son. And again, put your sanctified imaginations on with me for a minute. And can you imagine one day as Hephzibah meets Hezekiah at the front door, and he gets off his chariot, and he's walking towards the house, and she has the home pregnancy test in her hand, and she's... No, I said, imagine! And she's running through the yard, and she's saying, it's blue. What's blue? My home pregnancy test is blue. We're going to have a baby. Oh, can you imagine how she's excited? And can you imagine the anticipation when the baby would finally arrive? Oh, I wonder, did she pray and ask God to give her and her husband a son? Did her and Hezekiah sit on the balcony at the palace at night and talk about what it would be like to have a little baby running around the house? Now, you just don't know. Some of you are saying, preacher, you don't know what happened that way. You don't know it didn't. I mean, they were probably excited. No doubt they had discussions about this. What's he going to be like? What's it going to be? Is it going to be a little boy or is it going to be a little girl? They didn't have the privileges that we have now. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, she was just so excited. Think about it, ladies, days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months, and wasn't for long she was showing greatly. And it wasn't too long after that it was time for her to be delivered. Oh, she named him Manasseh. That means, listen to this, God hath made me forget. Did the joy holding that little boy in her arms make her forget the troubles and trials of life? I don't know. Did the little bundle of joy in her arms make her forget about the hassles and the stress of being in a royal family? Sometimes when you live in a glass house, it's easy for folks to be critical. I tell you, we've lived in one ever since all of our married life. I remember Miss Carol Howard told Elizabeth, she married me, who's the pastor's wife who married us, and she said, you either love him, young lady, or you're crazy because you know what you're marrying into. Did that precious gift of God in her arms make her forget the sleepless nights and uncomfortable days that led up to the end of the pregnancy? I don't know the answer to those questions, but I do know that she named him Manasseh. I do know that his name makes says that God has made me forget. I don't know what she forgot, but I do know this. It must have been a thrilling time for this mom that God made her forget something probably bad. If you're going to forget it, it had to be bad. And ladies and gentlemen, now she's got this little boy, and she's happy, and she's glad, and she's proud that he was born. Can't you imagine? Oh, can't you imagine she went out running showing everybody my baby? She was a mother. And she was glad that God gave her a son. Justin, I mean, Glenda was even glad she got you. Until she got him home. Anyway, the thrill of bearing a son. That's exactly, though, the task of rearing a son. Now, again, we know from the Bible that Hezekiah was a godly king. He was a good king. And when you think of a godly king like Hezekiah, you have to assume that Hephzibah was of the same quality and character that he was. There's nothing in the Bible that would suggest otherwise. Her name eventually became a symbolic name for Zion. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 62 verse 4 says. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and the Lord shall be, and your land shall be married. I think it would be safe to assume that the teaching her little boy about God was a common part of the daily practices at home. No doubt she taught her son about the delivery of the nation of Israel, how God had raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage and captivity of the Pharaoh's army there in Egypt. No doubt she taught him about those things. No doubt she taught him about the Passover lamb and all that meant there and how God done all that great work. No doubt she taught him about the Red Sea and God parting the Red Sea and they walked on dry land. Can you imagine? No doubt she told him about how God preserved that whole generation there in the wilderness. And he fed them with quail and manna and he took care of them. And he led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, no doubt she told her son about things of God. Can't you imagine? This means yes, this means no. Hook up somewhere now, come on. Oh, can you imagine that she would tell him about that magnificent temple. Son, you see that temple over there? Yeah, Mom, what they do over there? Every day they take in their lambs, perfect lambs, and they sacrifice those on behalf of the people. What's that mean? Well, honey, you need to understand that people don't always do what God wants them to do. And when they don't do what God wants them to do, something has to be make that thing right. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus would. But until then, somebody had to make it right. And that's why they kept doing that over and over and over and over. Oh, can you imagine? They would sing at night, Jesus loves me. This I know in a rocker, she rocked this little boy to sleep. She probably was acquainted with God's command in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you should depart your heart from all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. No doubt my mind, Hephzibah, over the years as they were home with little Manasseh, can't you imagine moms? And she would sit down, now son, it's time to memorize the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not have any love other any gods. Thou shalt not have any graven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No doubt she taught her son the things of God. I think we can safely say that this was a mom who was glad when she was giving her this boy. I think it's also safe for us to assume that she brought him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as well. Safe? All right. Let me give you another second thought, though. A mother so glad, but I see secondly a mother so grieved. This family, not unlike every other family in the world, comes a sad time. Everybody knows this is going to happen. And actually, it's in the chapter preceding here, immediately preceding here. We know this is going to happen. I've told Elizabeth this. When we're really, really old, I have things planned this way. They are going to bury me. And we know that's going to happen. One of the two of us are going to outlive the other. That's true for all of us. That day came. Hezekiah died. Well, the natural reign of things was that the throne would then go to her son, Manasseh. Well, the day came when he's dead and God gave him those extra years, but that time had run out. Now she's left there with a small son to raise. He's 12 years old. I don't care how he's the king, but he's still a boy. I heard a black preacher say several years ago, he said, in our generation, he said, we have got a generation of boys that know how to make babies but cannot even make a bed. God help us. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to teach young boys how to be young men and then ultimately to be responsible adults. We hear about young ladies get pregnant every year, but there's a teenage boy that got them pregnant somewhere. I ought to hold them accountable too. That's a good place right there. Say amen. A mother so grieved, though. She's left without a husband. She's left to raise Manasseh without a father. Let me just put in a word here. This is not in the notes. Cindy's read the sermon already. I'm telling you, this is not in the notes, but this is good. Those of you who are single moms, let me give you a word of a hand clap right now. Thank you for what you do. You, many of you come week after week without dad's help, no help from anybody. You love those kids. Thank God for single moms. It's not lost on me. Listen, we have a traditional home in our house, and thank God that's God's perfect way, but that's not the world we live in now. Thank God for you single moms, what you do. I really appreciate that. I do. It's not lost, but now she's a single mom, and she's got this son, and she's left him there. She's got to raise him, but she's going to realize that the days of grieving over Hezekiah are going to pale in comparison to the grieving she's going to do over this son. No doubt like a sword had been plunged in her heart when her husband died, but those days would come when her son would drive that dagger deeper and twist it and turn it with each move. The text says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. Verse 2 says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations of whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. But I want you to notice two thoughts with me. First of all, his departure from the Lord as a teen. The Bible says he was 12 years old when he became king. And the Bible says in verse 2, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He assumed the throne at 12, and it would appear to me, now I'm not a smart guy, but it would appear to me in his teenage years, he began to really depart from the Lord and drift away from God. He began to turn from all that his mom and dad had taught him and began to turn from his upbringing. The Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now this was a boy we would say had been brought up in church. We would say this boy had been brought up in a Christian home. We would say he'd been brought to church since he was just a few days old. Possibly his parents dedicated him like we did these babies this morning. Oh, he'd been taught the word of God, the ways of God, but as a teenager, he got around the wrong crowd and he began to depart from the God of Israel. Now, preacher, that's talking about him. We're talking about his mama. I know. Now pay attention. You think about this, ladies, how that must have broke that mom's heart. I mean, this boy's out living like hell and doing anything he wants to, and the text says he's doing whatever he wants to in the evil in the sight of the Lord. And she must, can you imagine how she must have broke her heart as she watched him drift from God? I have no doubt that she prayed for him daily and spoke to him personally about the direction he was taking in his life. And no doubt she shed many tears for her son. It must have broke her heart to see him depart from the Lord as a teen. A lot of kids, they turn 13, they lose their mind. Or their parents lose theirs, they think, and they don't get them back until they're usually about 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there. But his departure from the Lord as a teen, but I see secondly, though, his defiance of God as an adult. If his teenage years broke his mother's heart, I can imagine what his adult years must have done to her. Verses 3 through 5, notice with me here. And the text says, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. They had all these altars built there in the Old Testament. It's on the screen there. And he begin to build the altars, raise up altars for Baal, and his father had torn all that stuff down, and he's going right behind his dad and doing it, rebuilding it again. And he made a wooden image as Ahab the king, I'm reading off the screen just like you could do, and as Ahab the king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and he served them. You remember Ahab? Jezebel and Ahab? You ever seen a little girl named Jezebel? We like Bible names. I've never seen a little girl named Hephzibah either, by the way. He went against everything that his dad and mom had taught him. His godly father had torn down those altars of the false gods, but Manasseh not only repaired them, he rebuilt them and began to worship other gods than the true and the living God. He went so far as to turn the temple into that had been sacred for the purpose of worship, and he worshiped there, pagan worship there in the temple. The God of Israel was totally abandoned by his life. But not only did he abandon God, he abhorred God. Verse 6 says, and he also made his son pass through the fire, practice soothsaying, used witchcraft and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Wow. Manasseh got into what we would call black magic or witchcraft or Satan worship. And what makes it even worse is the Bible tells us in verse 6, he did that in order to provoke the Lord to anger. You talking about snubbing your nose at God? Now he did it. Can you imagine what this must be doing to his mom? This godly lady, this godly heritage who had poured so much into this boy, she prayed for him to be alive and she asked God for him to be alive. But now, this is what she gets. I personally think it's a pretty dumb thing to do to make try to do things to make God mad. I don't know about y'all, but I personally think that's kind of dumb. Again, he'd been brought up in a Christian home. He'd been taught right from wrong, but as a teenager, he departed from God. But as an adult, he was defiant to God. One mom said, I read about, she said she was worried about her teenage daughters and her son's teenage son's failing eyesight. She said her daughter couldn't find anything to wear in a closet full of clothes. And her son couldn't find anything to eat in a refrigerator full of food. We have that issue at our house. But I'm sure there's lots of moms, maybe some here this morning, who wish that's all they had to worry about with their child. Maybe this morning you have a son or a daughter that you brought up in church, you brought up in a Christian home, you even went so far to put them in a Christian school, but your heart grieves today because they aren't living for God. If I've heard it once, I've heard it dozens of times since I've been a pastor. Preacher, pray for my son or daughter. They're away from God. I brought them up in church, but they're out of church now, and you can't even talk to them about the Lord now. Preacher, pray for my son or daughter. Can't you imagine she went down to the local temple and she said, priest, pray for my son. He's acting foolish. And he's doing things to make God mad. She saw him as he drifts away from the Lord. And he ultimately became defiant of God and his word and his ways. A mother so grieved. A mother so glad. A mother so grieved. But I see secondly. Thirdly, excuse me. A mother so grateful. This morning you may have a son or a daughter that's away from the Lord on this Mother's Day. But this story about this mother has a word of hope for you too. This story doesn't end here. This story gets better. It really does. Now you got to pay attention with me for just a few more moments. I'm about done. Notice with me, first of all, Manasseh was humbled before God. Now, don't turn there because we don't have time to do a Bible drill this morning, but just listen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 11 through 13, therefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God. By the way, Lord is capitalized there. That's making reference to Yahweh, the God of heaven. That's important. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. That's important. And he prayed to him and he received his entreaty. And he received his entreaty. He heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now this son had broken his mother's heart with his departure from God and his defiance of God. But one day he was humbled by God. There came a day, though, when this boy cried out to God for mercy. This son who had lifted wickedness to a whole new level in Israel, this son who stooped so low to go into witchcraft and boldly rejecting and refusing God, this boy is now being carried off into bondage and captivity. And verse 13 of that text tells us, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe personally, this is my opinion, that this is a product of this godly mama keep taking him to the throne of grace. Lord, he's lost his mind. You have to work on him. God, he's crazy. He's rejecting what you said. You change his life. God, you do it over a period of time. And she keeps taking him to the Lord. She keeps taking him to the Lord. The Bible says that God raised up the Assyrians to come take them into Babylonian captivity. I'm convinced that was the work of God. And God humbled him there and worked in his life. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. If a wicked, godless, evil, sin-loving, God-hating son like Manasseh can be saved and brought back to God, there's hope for every child of a parent of a wayward child this morning. God can save your son and or your daughter. God can bring your son or daughter back to him. As a parent, your heart may be grieved over how they've left God out of their life, but there is hope. Godly mamas and daddies continue. Can you imagine how grateful this mom was, ladies, whenever he came back to the Lord? How her heart must have been filled with praise. Can't you imagine? She went away singing victory in Jesus. Well, let me give you a second thought, though. Manasseh was humble before the Lord, but Manasseh was hooked by the Lord. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about being hooked by the Lord? There's an interesting phrase here in this text. Verse 11 says, who took Manasseh with hooks. Now, what that means is when the Assyrians came there, they bound him with chains, and they pulled a hook, and they inserted it in his nose. I've seen a few husbands that way. And some of you get that on the way home, y'all, right? But literally, hooked a ring in his nose. And begin to pull him by. Now, I've been hitting the nose a few times. That tissue is pretty soft. Normally, if there's a lot of pressure right there, you're going to go wherever that pressure relieves, aren't you? You're going to follow that hook when somebody's pulling on it. Listen, I think that more than the Assyrians had a hook in Manasseh, I think the God whom he defied had that hook in him. Now listen, look at that text one more time. Therefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the army of the king of Assyria. That's important. Preacher, why is that so important? That first three words, therefore the Lord, God orchestrated that. You remember during that Babylonian captivity, and they spent all that time in that captivity. Who was it that ultimately ordered that captivity? God. How were the Assyrians able to defeat the people of God? God. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God brought that captivity upon them as a means of punishment to them because they would not do what God said to do? Jeremiah the prophet prophesied, he was a contemporary of this time. He prophesied to them and told them, after those times are complete, but God ordered that time. You have to see this, ladies and gentlemen, that God was behind it all, working to bring Manasseh back to himself. I can't help but wonder why did God put a hook in Manasseh as a response to that mom who cried herself to sleep night after night after night over this wayward son? Did God put a hook in Manasseh in answer to her prayers that went up day after day? I read about this banker in Dallas. And him and his family went on a vacation. They got a cabin up in Maine. And they, just before the vacation was over, he decided to take his daughter one day out fishing for one last trip on the lake. They went out 5 or 6 miles from shore and let down their fishing lines. It's a cool story. They caught a few fish, but they didn't really care. They just really enjoyed being together. That's really kind of what you do that kind of stuff for. And they packed the picnic lunch, and after eating, the father and daughter, they both just fell asleep right there and took a nap on the lake. It wasn't long after that, though, they got to sleep. They slept deep into the evening, and the father was awakened by drops of water, and he noticed that a storm was coming. He was starting to get a little bit rough, and he didn't think too much about it, so he really took his time getting the fishing poles in and began to get the anchor up. But before long, the wind was blowing stronger and stronger, and the rain began to fall heavier and heavier. Soon the sky was pitch black, and suddenly he found himself in the middle of a terrible storm, and the winds was and the waves was tossing that little boat fiercely, and he thought they were going to die. It was raining so hard that he could barely see, and just a few feet in front of him, much less the shore. And then as he rowed, it was not long before his daughter realized they were lost, and the little girl said, "Daddy, are we lost?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not in the story here, but this is free. You ever known a man that was lost? He said, "No, darling, we're all right." But the father knew that the rain and the wind could swamp the boat. He kept rowing. In a few minutes, the little guy cried, "Daddy, Daddy, I see a light." The dad steered towards the light and rowed as hard as he could. At last, the keel of the boat landed on the shore, and the light he had seen had been from his own cabin. He grabbed his daughter and ran straight to the house, and the mother was standing with fear written all over her face, and she said, "Oh, Fred, I was worried about you." Before the father had a chance to answer, the little girl said, "Mommy, you didn't have to worry about us. We steered by your light." There's the light of a lot of godly mothers that brought a lot of wayward children home before. Many sons and daughters have been hooked by God because of the prayers of a praying mama. Mothers, parents, don't give up hope on those kids. If God can change a man like Manasseh, and God can bring a fellow like Manasseh back home, he could do that with yours as well. Hey, the story doesn't end there, though. Let me just tell you the rest of it real quickly. Manasseh would later restore what had been lost, remove the evil things in which he had put up, and implemented and implanted, and he led others to worship God. Can you imagine how Hephzibah the last years of her life, she'd point and say, "That's my boy. He's the one leading the services down at the church now. That's my boy. Didn't he used to dishonor the Lord? He did, but God brought him home. And he done it because of the prayers of a godly mama." Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, to the best of my ability, I preach what you laid on my heart. God, I pray not you'll speak. You'll work. Lord, we wouldn't give up on those kids you've entrusted us to. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for how you're doing it. Lord, I pray now that you'll draw people to yourself, save lost people, encourage Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed, and no one's looking around. Our musicians are going to play and Cindy's going to sing. Now, this is your time to respond. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come. Mother's Day is a great day to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're a mom, though, this morning. You've got a wayward son or daughter. Maybe you're not living for the Lord yourself, mom or dad. You ought to come back to the Lord. I'm telling you, your children learn how to walk, talk, and eat by watching you. They'll learn how to live for Jesus by watching you as well. You come and respond however the Lord leads. Musicians are playing.